This is Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist afield. I'm Glenn Muddlehauser, an ecologist and naturalist with Maine Natural History Observatory.
I'm Coco Faber, and I have spent the past 10 summers working in seabird colonies off the coast of Maine, and I've spent the past 6 years on Seal Island, which is the biggest puffin colony off the coast of Maine.
And I'm Tracy Faber. I'm Coco's twin sister, and I have worked on the sort of sister island to Seal, Matinicus Rock, for the past 7 years, also for Project Puffin.
The Arctic terns have not really been doing very well, and there's a lot of people who think that part of what's happening is happening along their migration route, that we have adults that are either not coming back or coming back in poor body condition and ill prepared to then start this season that's incredibly taxing on their very small, strong bodies.
Our numbers have been decreasing, and we have about 200 fewer Arty pairs this year than we did at our peak number in 2022.
Yeah.
And you really do feel it in the colony, and it part of it is that they do tend to have a pretty high nest site fidelity. And so you're like, well, this little, next to this little clump of grass, there should be this nest of this pair, and they're just not there. Or maybe you see one bird of that pair standing around with a fish for a lot of that courtship period of time,
and you like poor BS-23. BN-98 didn't come back this year. BS-23 was wandering around holding a fish, like, where's my mate? And they didn't come back. I feel like in a given year too, you don't know if that bird is somewhere else or if they're gone and they're not going to come back. I think this year for me, for the terns, was, and I've had this experience in other years too, where you see the way that all of these different challenges pile on top of each other for them. Like, we had birds come back to the colony, and the way that they were behaving was just not, like, I use the word sticky. It's just like sometimes when the birds come back, like, they'll start to lay eggs, and they really spent time on the island. They're really sitting on those eggs even as they're still filling in. And some years they come back and they are flushing constantly. They spend a lot of time sort of hovering over the island. They're just like, they don't settle in. And a lot of times when we see that kind of behavior, what we also see when we do some of our adult trapping work is that they have low weights. And so I think they're just like, why am I going to sit here on these eggs if I feel threatened, because I'm just not, don't feel like in the right condition to be doing it. And then we had this big storm, and so then the birds that had laid eggs were sort of set back. A lot of them abandoned their eggs, and then all the gulls came in and ate the eggs because there were no terns there to defend the colony. And then those birds had to relay, if they even did relay, and a lot of their lay dates were then pushed back. And then we had like a wave of good fish for them after the chicks hatched, and then that dropped off. And when it dropped off, all of the gulls, because we have a gull colony on the island as well, were also experiencing those same pressures. And so the adults, it's a smaller colony, so there's fewer adults around now than there were 5 years ago to defend the colony from predators. And then they're really struggling to find forage fish, so they're spending like a lot of time away from the colony. So there's just fewer birds even just in the colony to defend their little chicks that are like wandering around and hiding. And then the gulls are also super hungry, and so they're coming in and they're predating the colony. There's fewer birds to defend it, and so they're more successful in getting tern chicks and eating them. And so it's just, this was one of those seasons that really felt like this lesson in how there can be these shifts that then lead to like cascading pressures. Yeah.
And it's hard to watch.
Yeah.
Also, like, we had a period of time from basically like July 1st through like the next 3 weeks where a lot of the tern chicks that we were following for productivity, who we measure every other day, just their weights plateaued. And it was kind of incredible because we were just waiting for them to die because it didn't seem to be changing. It's incredible to have a chick who should be gaining 10 to 20 to 30 grams in between checks to just stay at like 50 to 75 grams for 3 weeks, some of them. And then once conditions change and they started getting fish again, these chicks who we thought surely would perish just gained a ton of weight. They grew in all their flight feathers, and a lot of those chicks fledged within a week. which again is incredible to see, but also a lot of chicks died during that period of time.
Yeah.
Especially the common terns, who are less able to feed their chicks on just little invertebrates, which the Arctic terns are quite good at.
That was Nature Notes, a Maine Naturalist Afield from the Maine Natural History Observatory. This program was produced by Glenn Middlehauser. The theme music is Keeper of the Light by Hallie Pottle Parker, performed by Hallie Pottle Parker and Kate Pottle. For more information, you can go to mainenaturalhistory.org. You can find more episodes of Nature Notes on the WERU archive or wherever you get podcasts.